This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
Is it plastic? Is it our seas? Is it nature? All these different elements helping with the climate crisis. It's like a huge umbrella. Pick what it is that you are more passionate about.
Hello and welcome to this Tread Lightly podcast from us at the Raynham Eco Hub. My name is Kaylee.
And I'm Liz.
And this podcast is where we delve a little bit deeper into those conversations with local everyday heroes that are doing small and impactful changes. We hope that you get as much out of this as me and Liz do and that you also laugh just as much too.
Hello and welcome to the last in the first series of the Tread Lightly podcast by the Raynham Eco Hub.
Oh my gosh, can you believe we have got to the end of series one already?
I know, it's been cracking, hasn't it?
It has been so wonderful to sit and just spend time with like really local heroes, well, near and far actually, and just be able to hear their stories and be inspired by them. And, you know, we've had so many messages from people who have said that they have listened to the podcast and they've been inspired to take action in their own everyday lives. And for me, I think that's just what this hub and this podcast is all about, right?
It's been so good. And I'm so grateful for those people that have come, been brave, been vulnerable, been open to share their stories, to talk to us, to challenge us, to be challenged. And I think that's what it's all about, right? It's not just a case of one person having all the answers, as we say. It's a collection of so many people sharing their views.
A collection of imperfect action. I like that. It sounds a bit Mary Poppins, but I like it. So we are going to be taking a bit of a mini break because we are behind the scenes squirreling away, coming up with some plans and some ideas for a new mini series where we get to delve a little bit deeper into those conversations where we just want to be able to learn a little bit more and be able to learn how to apply that on a whole different scale, which is...
Yeah, really, really focused conversations with everyday heroes on various different aspects of environmentalism, which I'm very excited
about. I'm so excited to share it. So listen to this last episode. As with always, like share, because that helps us reach new people all the time. Share it with your friends and families. Rate the podcast. Give us 5 stars if you think we're worth the 5 stars. And always keep in touch with us on socials, Facebook, Instagram. And now we're with the Cool Kids and we're on TikTok. Go give us a little follow on there. And we can't wait to see you for season 2.
Season 2. See you then, guys. I hope you enjoy this episode.
In this episode, we are bringing you Kelly from Our House of Green to share with you her story of how her Instagram page started. After a conversation with her son, wanting to show him that there are many people around the world doing great things to tackle climate change. Together as a family, they started to document and share their everyday changes that they were doing and have since encouraged and inspired so many of you to join them on a quest to live more imperfectly eco. Hello and welcome back to this episode where we get to speak to the amazing Kelly from House of Green. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. How are you both?
Hey, we're good. Great to have you on. Thank you for coming on.
I've been looking forward to this for such a long time.
Oh, really?
Because I think we followed you before you followed us on Instagram. So really? People, get off of your phone for just a second. Go onto Instagram, type in House of Green. You just need to go and have a look at your Instagram because you do such cool stuff and I cannot wait to hear what the story is behind it.
Well, basically it started not long after COVID and everything was really unsettled in the world and my son suffers quite badly with anxiety. And amongst all the COVID, there was also a lot being reported in the news about climate change and the crisis. And he was just like, why isn't anyone doing anything, Mum? Like, why isn't anyone doing anything? And I was on Instagram. I had like a different personal account. And I was like, no, people are doing stuff. That it is out there. It's just not being reported about.
Mm.
And he was like, I'm not seeing it, Mum.
And how old was your son?
9. 10.
Wow.
He was young. Like, he was just trying to think how old he was when COVID. Yeah, it must have been about 9 or 10.
And year he was four, so aware of not it not being reported even at that age. That is crazy, crazy observant of him, but mad that it isn't. He's right, really.
But yeah, he was. And it was at that point I was like, well, maybe we create an account, because we were doing stuff at home and he recognised that. He's like, oh man, we do this and we do that. I was like, you know what? Let's create a family account.
And oh, no way. So yeah. Do you run it as a family?
We did at the beginning, but more recently, the kids have got a little bit less like, oh, it's not as exciting.
Well, that just adds a whole nother layer.
It's really nice, isn't it?
That is really nice. That was like family activism during 2020. Sorry, I interrupt you. Carry
on. Okay. Yeah, no, it was very much, my husband was, you know, like, yeah, okay, you know, I'll join in. But it was me doing the posting and the photos, but they would get involved in other little pieces, especially with our small eco acts. I'll say to them, right, what have we been doing this week? You know, what have we done?
And tell us about that. So your small eco acts, was that, what was that? So is that kind of your small wins?
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's a small eco wins. How did I even forget that name?
Oh my gosh. Every time they used to pop up, because you used to do them is it a story or as a post?
I would create it on a story and then I'd save the image and then share the story and then post it.
So for those that haven't seen your stories and your account of your small eco wins, tell us what they are, because they bring me such joy every time I see them.
So basically, it's just a roundup of all the really small things that we do every day, or not even every day, to help with the climate crisis.
And how often did you post those?
It was every three posts, because I wanted to make my grid look really pretty and symmetrical.
That's as good a reason as any.
That is such a good reason.
And then it got to a point where I was like, I've actually got more things that I want to post and I couldn't keep up with the small eco wins. And I was like, oh. So I actually put a vote out and I just said to people, a poll, I said, you know, do you care that my grid is symmetrical and beautiful? And they're like, no, we want to see more content. Yeah. So I stopped. You can see now it's all everywhere.
Could you give us, so small eco wins is what we're all about. It's absolute gold for people who are starting on their eco journey and people that say to us, we just don't feel like we're making enough of a difference at home. Could you give us five that would be appearing on your small eco wins this week, especially ones from the beginning? Any ones that stand out?
One that comes every single time I do it is I wash at 20 degrees with...
Turn your washing machine down.
Turn my washing machine down. That's just it. I don't do anything different, really.
And is that all right? Your clothes all right?
Yeah, absolutely fine.
Make no difference?
No, not really. My husband works with concrete as well. Most of the stuff comes out. So it's absolutely fine.
That's insane.
Absolutely fine. So
easy win. Two easy presses win.
And
a button.
Just... I'm going to turn my washing machine on anyway. Just turned it down.
Just turned it down. Yeah. I loved one that you put up the other day when you was doing a roast dinner and you were like, just did my roast potatoes, but I just kept skins on. I mean, but honestly, like, it's that sort of stuff that is like your everyday, isn't it?
Anything that's going to save me time, but also create less waste, as in kitchen mess, yeah, as well as waste that's going to go in my food bin.
Yeah.
And it's extra nutrition.
The potatoes taste nice?
Yeah, they're lovely. Like, my kids absolutely love them.
I now do it.
Do you?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Why would you not do it? It makes an absolute no difference. Actually, I quite like it. I like skins, to be fair. I love jacket potatoes. They are my best. But I tell you why I found it really interesting that you were doing the small eco wins, because I was looking at it and it would be during times where I would feel like I wasn't doing like enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or I felt like I wasn't doing stuff. I felt like, oh, I really need to be doing stuff. And I'd come across your story and I'd read through, and sometimes you have 10, 15, 20 things on there. And I'd go through it and I'd go, oh, I've done that. I've done that. Oh, I've done that. And it was really healthy and helpful for me to be able to go, actually, I'm doing far more than what I thought that I was doing. And we always say that to people, don't we? Is that don't beat yourself up. To like, just look at the stuff that you are doing and you're probably doing far more than what you originally thought. But it's really hard to take your own advice sometimes, isn't it?
Do you know what it reminds me of as well? Have you heard of gratitude journaling?
Yes.
So if you're having a really bad day, or if you're just in like a bit of a crappy rut and things just are not going well, just to take note to say, I had a nice sleep, I washed the bed last night, or my shower was nice. like the birds are singing this morning, the sun was shining, and just trying to take those moments to remember those things that if you're having a bad day, you sometimes forget those little tiny things, in the same way that if you're feeling really anxious about the climate, you can forget about all the kind of little touches. And it kind of reminded me of those, being quite mindful and looking after yourself when things are quite heavy. I thought it was really clever of you.
Oh, thank you. And to be fair, that's one of the reasons why I did do it, because again, going back to what my son said, like, no one's doing anything. And I was like, yeah, but there are little things that people are doing. And again, I don't think people are realizing. And sometimes I have to think, I haven't done anything this week. What have I done? And I have like to really dig deep and go, oh no, I did feed the birds. I did do the washing. I hung my washing up. You know, I re-wore my cardi like 5 times at school. Everyone knows I've got my cardi here. It's just really, really, really small things. And it all adds up. It all adds up. And what I'm hoping is, like, for me as well, that it will add like the ripple effect, and people realise and appreciate, yeah, and you know what? We are doing stuff. We are being, you know, activists in our own little homes, and they don't even realise that they're doing
it. Your baseline just gets higher and higher each time you do those little wins as well, of like being more and more, you know, environmentally conscious. And that's a nice thing for your son to see as well, that you set the benchmark a little bit higher every day. You're a teacher, right?
Yes, I am.
Can you share where you teach?
Yes, I teach at St George's Primary School on the Isle of Sheppey.
Big up, St George's.
Big up.
Hello, St George's.
So are they on an eco journey? Have you brought them along on this trip? Where are they at?
Yes, I have. We have started an eco club this year.
No way. Yes. Tell us everything.
I'm a little bit obsessed. I think everyone's sick and tired of me talking about eco club, if I'm perfectly honest.
No, never.
So a colleague of mine, we started it last September. We've got 2 eco warriors per class. We have weekly meetings. And we actually got some really exciting news yesterday. A company has donated quite a sizable amount of money towards our eco club.
Amazing.
No way. Yeah. To do what? What do you want to do?
Well, we've now been given a part of the school grounds so we can create pollinating gardens and have a little nature area.
Oh my gosh.
Are you the eco lead then?
With the other teacher, yes.
Oh my gosh.
A joint enterprise.
And I bet, do you talk to the kids about what you talk about on your Instagram page as well? Do you talk to them about the little touches, or do you focus it purely on the kind of grounds of the school and keep it quite focused?
No, I mention little things like, especially we watch Newsround every day, and Newsround has our world section, or your world section, and quite often I'll pause it and be like, well, this is relevant, and I will ramble on for a little bit and they'll be like, oh wow, yeah, no, that's a good point. My friend Jess donates a lot of lovely books to our school, and she likes to also give books that are related to the climate crisis and lovely green eco books. And I read a book recently, it was all about light pollution. And I read that to them and I was like, so a simple thing as closing your curtains at night if your lights are on can help, like, save the planet. And they're like, really? Oh my goodness.
Are they anxious? Are they worried? Do they talk to you about this, or is it brand new stuff to them? What year do you teach?
Year 4.
Year 4. Okay. So where are year 4 at in terms of their eco consciousness?
Especially when they see things on Newsround, that's where a lot of their information comes from, around a lot of worldly news. And news article we saw recently, it was about an animal, can't remember which now. And they were like, oh, that's really sad. And I was like, well, this is what's happening, I'm afraid. I think they did something recently about the bleaching of the coral reefs.
Oh gosh, we spoke about that the other day, didn't we?
And they were like, this is what can we do? And it's, well... And funnily enough, actually, my interview at St George's was a lesson based on a book about bleaching of coral reefs. And I also dumped loads of rubbish in the classroom before the children came in.
When you first got for an interview?
Yeah,
that's very cool.
I had to do like an interview lesson. So yeah, the first time my first class ever saw me was after I trashed their classroom.
That is great.
You are such a cool teacher.
We have got good news for your class though, because we sometimes do a good news story. And Liz reported the other day that, what was the stat, that they've banned...
I don't know what the stat is, but in certain parts of Australia, they're starting to ban certain types of
sun lotion so that it doesn't damage the corals.
Really good news.
It is, isn't
that
it?
It is.
And doesn't happen everywhere. And I guess that's because not everybody knows, and not everybody's tourism is based so specifically around coral reef as it is in Australia, but just starting to explain how, you know, not just the warming of the sea, but how other kind of chemicals and things are causing such catastrophic issues with the oceans. But if you don't know,
no,
you don't know, do you?
No, you
and
don't.
So until we have these conversations, until they get inspired by people like you, that's the start of the conversation, to go and like look at where your sun cream comes from, what you're wearing, perfumes and that side of things. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to talk about something so specific. I think it's brilliant.
I particularly am really interested because we have done a previous episode about eco schools. Mm-hmm. And me and you have this conversation like so much around eco school accreditation and kind of like working towards things. And I said to Liz, like, I love it, right? Because everybody loves to be able to work towards something, and it's really helpful and it's really good to be able to have like a list of things to be able to kind of, yeah, work towards, to kind of like tick off almost. But for me, it's really important that like our everyday kind of stuff, so your small eco wins, are kind of like seen in classrooms and seen in workplaces and just seen in our general life, so that other people are like, oh, wait, what were you doing? And so that it becomes just sort of like the norm that you would to get your apple core from your lunch and just put it in a food waste bin rather than chuck it in the black bin. And it, those things just become like just what you do, rather than it's kind of, oh, we have to do this to tick a box with it. Do you know what I mean? Because that's how people learn, isn't it? Like, I have learned so much from my teachers, like growing up. I've got specific ones that I'm like, you taught me X, Y, and Z. And I think probably everybody has got that. Everyone has got either a really bad teacher, or really, Liz is like looking at me, but like either a really bad teacher or a really good teacher that you've like learned from. And I think you're, it's really sometimes easy to forget just how influential you are in those young people's lives, because you are an outside person that just shows them a completely different, or can show them a completely different way of life. And I think, I know as me as an adult, you just forget that, don't you? You forget that people are watching you and kind of like looking at you for how you like live life and how they can like learn from you, or not even. That can be the case. But do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think it's really good to sort of just have other people like you on the same sort of journey, so that it kind of like just, what's the word, permeates around the kind of school. Have you got anybody else apart from you and your buddy that you do Eco Club with? Is there anybody else that you've kind of been able to inspire?
There are other teachers who have run Eco initiatives in the past, and actually one today was like, oh, I used to love doing Eco Club. We're like, come along, join us.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, well, haven't been invited. And we're like, don't be silly. Oh, like, come. It's not an exclusive
join
group.
The cool
just
gang.
Come, yeah. Just come and be with us. It's absolutely fine.
Do some of the parents follow your Instagram page? Or do you not know?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
That would be really interesting for them, because they obviously would then see what their teacher lives and breathes, and that then kind of turns into teaching, which I think would be
some
really
interesting. Some of my kids have asked in the past. I think it was a lot of them in my last class, because I had pupils that had parents that worked at the school, and I'm like, oh, tell my mum. And at the time, I felt a bit more self-conscious about it, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I want my personal and the account. When I created it, I could have done it all on my personal account. Mm. And I know that I created a family account, but it was also because I wanted that little bit of, I can't pronounce the word.
I know what you mean.
And then just say,
thank
you.
That's it.
Yes, I'll let you say it.
I'm after.
But now I've come to realise, oh, actually, change isn't going to happen if I do keep this.
If you
to
keep
myself.
It quiet, that's so interesting.
If I keep it quiet, you know, we're not going to make as much of a difference.
And how has it been making you feel while you've been doing it? Has it been quite, has it made you feel proud? Has it made your son feel less anxious? Has it connected you with people? What has starting this family page, what has it given you?
My son is now less anxious about that. Still suffers with anxiety. Sorry, son. But he's less anxious about that, I think, because he can see what we are doing all the time, and it's just second nature to us now. So that's just one little thing that, you know, he doesn't have to worry about. And I feel a bit less anxious about it as
do
well.
You?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I do. It's not just him. I was also suffering from eco anxiety too. And it's been quite therapeutic for me to. And then that's one of the reasons why I started the Small Eco Wins, because I needed to see for myself. I need to see things written down.
Remind yourself as well that you've done.
You and Liz could be best mates.
I'm one of those people that sometimes have to write a list of things that I have done.
Yeah.
To give myself, you know, less of a hard time.
Does this sound like you're listening to
myself?
It's very good. But what's interesting is, I've come away from Instagram, because when I used to run the Hub Instagram page and another kind of climate related one, I used to run the Circle Refill shop. And
that was you, was it?
It was me before it was Kat. But the algorithms got me, and the algorithms were absolutely breaking my head. And I wonder, have you had that happen where you've kind of found that you're finding more people like you, or are you finding stuff that kind of reaches your social media pages that is unhelpful, or are you finding it's more helpful that you're having people connecting with you?
I think it goes like it ebbs and flows. Like there are times when I'll get quite a few followers, and then other times it will just drop, or engagement even. Like the engagement like goes whoop, and then all of a sudden it drops down to barely anything. And I'm like, oh, am I? It's hard not to think, am I not, you know, is it, should I carry on if it's not making that much of an impact for everyone else? But I'm like, but actually it's helping me.
It's helping you.
It's yourself, helping me still. So that's because good. It's helping me, I carry on.
Because you was finding that there were, the algorithms that were getting you was all of the scary stuff. It was all of the absolute disasters. And so you were kind of like, you was attracting all of that sort of negative news. Mm. And you needed to protect your mind space, I guess, to kind of go...
That's when social media doesn't work for you, I guess. Mm. But actually, if you put out the right kind of content and you connect with the right kind of people, I guess it can do so much good, as you're saying, like making you feel so much better.
I say it's been fantastic. And I've met my friend Jess, who...
You met through Instagram.
We met through Instagram, oh. Yes. She, am I allowed to say? She's the Posy Book Fairy.
That's Book Fairy. You. That's so her. Obviously, listeners do not know, but Posy Book Fairy is sat in the room while we're recording. How lovely. And so she gives you her books, her eco books. That's you. So tell us I'm now interested in like what is...
Yeah, I found one of her books. Oh. So she posted it on Instagram and me and my kids jumped in the car and was like, we know that's in Queenborough.
Is that right? Yeah. Is that how you two met then?
Yeah, I recognised where it was. So we just went and... So then I just shared it. Like, I was like, oh,
Hang on, Jess. Do you feel happy just to explain a bit more about this? Hey, Jess, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Jess. I run Posy's Book Club. I'm just here as Kelly's fangirl today.
But what did you do? Tell us about the book and how you met then, because I think that's really, really nice.
I started post-lockdown, helping with anxiety. The literacy rates on our island are really low, and that shocked me. So I started reviewing books, and I just think it's really important to spread kindness. It's a ripple effect. So a lot of our books we hide. So we will take a picture sort of as a clue, and we put like a label on it saying free book, please take me.
Oh my
gosh. So I did a little sneak, this is where this is. And I didn't know Kelly, but she obviously recognised the area, went and got it like she said. And then she tagged me on Instagram and then just started to chat. And then, yeah, we became friends.
Oh, I love that. God.
And here we are.
Jess, thank you so much for talking. I'm so pleased that we managed to get you on here. Do you want to live more sustainably, but you just don't know where to start?
Did you, like me, sign up for Veganuary and accidentally buy chicken sausages on day two?
Does the whole eco thing leave you feeling confused and sometimes overwhelmed? If so, this is the podcast for you.
Remember to check us out on our socials on Facebook and Instagram, The Raynham Eco Hub. So Instagram is good for stuff like that. Like, I think I listened to something today where they were talking about Twitter, like now X, and kind of Threads and Instagram and Facebook. And they were kind of like talking about the different effects of like social media and positive and negative and stuff. And they were saying that Twitter has just become like an absolute no-go for some people because it's just like not a nice space.
No,
but they were
gross.
Saying that Instagram is just such a lovely community where people just feel supported. I'm sure, you know, that's a generic kind of statement. But like generally people were saying that they felt quite supported on Instagram. lockdown that they made nice connections and made friendships, which is, that's testimony to that, which is lovely. And I wonder, have you built a relationship with people that follow you? Have you built, you know, not like lifelong friends? Maybe you two are. Sorry, I should say that. But do you know what I mean? Like the people that don't live locally that you're not going to meet, like have you kind of like inspired people that come along and gone, oh, I found your account and I'm now doing this, this and this. Is that kind of happened to you?
Yeah, I've got quite a few followers that I talk to through the chat option or DM option all the time. They just check in, and if I have been a bit quiet, oh, are you okay? You know, since I've started posting my face, because that was another thing, I was just like, no, I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
I started posting my face, and then someone sent me a message, went, are you from the Isle of Sheppey? Because I think I saw you in Morrison's the other day.
No way.
And I was like, oh my goodness. And she was someone that I'd been talking to and hadn't realised that she lived just up the road. So, yeah.
That is so nice, isn't it? And does she talk to you about kind of, do people share with you the small wins, or do people kind of share when they do big stuff? Do you get people that want to tell you about what they are doing?
I do. Quite often when I do post our small eco wins, I will say, oh, you know, tag us so we can celebrate with you. And then we'll get like stories and posts being sent going, oh yeah, look, you know, our house of green, check what we've done. And it's really lovely. It's really lovely to see that it's helping people. And that's what a lot of people say. It's like, it's so therapeutic to them that they're also acknowledging that they are doing even small wins. They count. I think people have got this really bad impression that to be eco, you have to be perfect. And it really winds me up.
How many times do we hear that?
It's like, we don't have to be perfect. And I think, you know, there are activists out there that have kind of, you know, taken a lot of the limelight in media, I won't name names, have been like, no, you've got to be, you know, you've got to do this, you've got to be perfect. And it's like, no, actually, you're not going to win people round.
Not going to win hearts and minds like
by,
that, are you?
You know, the way that we live, it's practically impossible to be perfectly eco. We're vegetarian, but that means a lot of our food comes in plastic packaging, you know, because we eat a lot of the meat replacement things, because we were proper carnivores before become vegetarian. Like, we became vegetarian to help the planet. It's not because we hated meat. Mm. We loved meat. But a lot of the meat products that we're eating, or meat, sorry, I'm doing little bunny ears. You know, they come in plastic, and it's like, well, that's not great.
Oh, it's so true. I find this conversation so helpful, because if you don't talk to other people about it, you can drive yourself a bit mad. Mm. I remember we've interviewed a guy called Leon Ruskilly, who is such an advocate for wildlife. He is like, he's incredible in terms of like his knowledge and in terms of his compassion for helping people. And he gives kitten food to hedgehogs and things like that, which is really lovely. Is it another thing to buy? Does it contain meat? Do you use stuff that's in plastic packaging? That kind of one conversation that we had just about something so very, very small. Of course I want to feed the hedgehogs and make sure they're okay. But then you go, just another kind of meat-based product that I'm buying. And then that's two tiny little examples that we've just had there,
exactly.
Which is where even with the best intentions, you still have to kind of battle, is it the right thing? Is it the wrong thing?
Exactly.
And that's why I think it's really healthy and like so good to have a space where you're just like, do you know what? I'm going to get it wrong sometimes. Mm. And nobody is going to be perfect
at all.
And I think that sometimes I've said things and you've said during a recording of a podcast or something like, oh, you're really brave to share that. And I'm like, oh, am I? And then I think if we don't talk about the things that we, I don't even want to use the word fail, but you know, if you don't talk about those things that we kind of don't do right, or you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't create a space then for other people to kind of feel comfortable to come into this conversation. Do you know what I mean?
Because
I fell like 5 million. A really good example, right? Before you came, we had a roast dinner. Me, my husband and my daughter are veggie. We don't eat meat. My son, however, is a teenager and he still chooses to eat meat, which is absolutely fine. And I would not pressure him to change his views or his eating habits or whatever. And so I've just cooked chicken, and like other people be like, oh my gosh, I don't know how you can do that. I don't know how you can buy it. I don't know how you can cook it. But it has to be that I can't impression my stuff onto him. No. He has to come to that in his, and in his own way. And yet when I look at him, and we was having a conversation the other day, he wanted to buy some new clothes. The first place he went to was Vinted.
What a legend.
So oh, I kind of go, that's amazing. Isn't it? So I kind of go to myself, okay, he still eats meat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to judge him for that.
Nope.
First thing he goes to buy clothes, Vinted. And he did something else the other day. And I was just like, that, again, that was just like a really subconscious thing that he'd just chosen
natural
to do.
First step, yeah. To do something environmentally.
Yeah, and I can't remember what it was, but it was another really good example. And I thought, those are the things that I'm taking as wins, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. So my oldest, he decided to become a vegetarian. My youngest is not, but bless him, he will eat our vegetarian diet. Every now and again, he'll be like, I just need chicken nuggets. Just can I have meat? We recently went on holiday and it was an all-you-can-eat buffet. And he literally piled his plate on the first morning with so many sausages, so much bacon.
Sounds like my son. He goes anywhere where there's meat. It's as if he's been starved for a whole year.
And I've never, ever, ever seen him inhale so much food in such a little time. And he's my youngest. So I always look at him and think, but I never just that night he had a meat coma.
Meat
sweats.
We went upstairs to get ready to go out for the evening and he was like, I feel really tired. I'm like, I'll just have a little nap. That was it. He was gone 13
really?
Hours. We could not
yeah,
yeah that was him.
Really?
My husband had to stay in and you went out on the town.
Oldest and I went out.
That's so interesting, isn't it? I like the conversations around like kind of the wider family because I think you don't want to influence and you don't want them to kind of do things, but it's also kind of nice every now and then when you go, oh, it's a little win there.
So yeah, definitely.
My dad, for example, who slow on the uptake with this, but kind of, you know, supports me, but is, you know, of a generation where it's more challenging for him to kind of change his views and stuff. But he started buying loo roll from, I won't mention the name of the company, but trying to buy loo roll that appeared to be much more kind of sustainable. And I was like, go you, like, well done, that's awesome. And then I bought him a box because I was like, hey, here's a present, I bought you a present. And then he went, oh, just...
Hold up, did you buy your dad toilet roll as a present?
I've done it more than once.
It's a podcast for another day.
Yeah, I did. But he then looked on the back when it got delivered. I think it got delivered upside down. It said made in China. Then he went on and he had a look on their website and it was all imported and kind of shipped over from China. But the idea was that it was regenerative and bamboo. And he was like, oh, I just don't think this is as eco-friendly as I think it is. And we had a discussion about it. And actually, in the end, I agreed with him. And he was like, oh, I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want to disappoint you because I wanted to impress you. And he was quite sweet about it. And he was like, but
he'd come to it himself.
And we had a great chat about it, about is it better, is it worse, plastic wrapped and from Tesco's, or is it better that shipped across the world but it's made of bamboo? And I don't think it really matters. I was just so proud to have that conversation with him.
That goes back to the fact that we can't be perfectly eco.
No,
goes to show that we try our best. We think, oh, we're going to make this choice for the better. And actually, if you look somewhere, there's going to be something. There's going to be like a small detail that's going to actually make it not as eco.
Yeah.
I think you've got to pick. Someone said to me once, you've got to pick what it is that you're most passionate about. Is it plastic? Is it our seas? Is it nature? All these different elements helping with the climate crisis, it's like a huge umbrella. Pick what it is that you are more passionate about. And for me, it's nature. I love nature.
Yeah.
So that's, for me, what I try to help with the most.
Shine the lens on that when you're making your decisions.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good way of looking at it.
Then that way I also don't feel guilty if I am making wrong choices, you know, or maybe not so eco choices somewhere else, because I'm like, well, I am doing this.
And you're still having the conversation. And I think just recognizing that there's some contrasts and ups and downs and some contradictions, I think it's just a healthy conversation to have. Because if we don't have these conversations, you can sit in your own brain just feeling like you're either going mad or you're not doing a good enough job. And nobody's going to save the planet by shamed and blamed and confused into just total inaction, which I think is where it could be if we don't open up about these difficult conversations.
Exactly.
I listened to a podcast today, actually, and yesterday, all about like communication and being able to just have a healthy conversation with people and how we've lost the ability to be able to have some sort of like healthy debate and have two people with like opposing views kind of come together and how... and how we kind of talk. So I could talk to you to try and get you to be, like, think how I think. I'm not talking to you because I just want to share what I, you know, love or know or whatever. And when you're talking, I'm not listening to actually listen to you. I'm listening to respond. And I thought, oh, that's so relevant to this climate conversation, isn't it? Because so many times, and I've done this myself, like, an example of that is today somebody come to my front lawn and I've not mown it, and there's like loads of dandelions and stuff, and now are they called like clots?
Are you taking part in No May May?
I will be. I mean, today is the 1st of May, but I haven't done it for the whole of April either. So that's a different conversation.
So the answer is yes. As often
so,
yes. Take it.
And they were like, oh, you've got loads of dandelions. And I was like, yeah. And they were like, no, I dig them out of my lawn.
Was it my dad?
No, it wasn't your dad, but it was the same generation. And I was like, uh-huh. And I before would have probably gone into a whole spiel about No Mow May and why it's really important and da-da-da-da-da. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I know lots of people still do that, but I just think it's like the first food for the bees, and I'm just a lover of bees. And then really quickly, I just sort of like talked about something else. And then somebody else picked up on that conversation and was like, then started saying, oh, yeah, no, I keep mine as well, because it's really handy. And I just, before, I think I would have just been really, really quick to respond because I really want them to know why they're there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I really kind of want to share.
Did you feel
my
silly?
Thing.
Do you think you felt silly from that person being like, why do you not?
No, I never felt silly. I just.
Why did you feel the need to explain it?
Because I just want them to know.
Oh,
I
you want wanted them, to educate them.
I want them to kind of know why I'm doing it, yeah. So that they can then not dig them up and.
Oh, we see help. What you mean. Sorry, yeah.
Did you see what I mean? Yeah. But today I just kind of felt like I could just say that kind of one quick piece and then it was all right. But I will probably still do that at some point, because when I feel a bit scared, I do feel like I want to kind of, you know, like listen to why I'm doing this, listen to why I'm doing this, because I feel like I get, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it depends on who the person is as well, because I think like vulnerability is like a massive thing, isn't it? When you're having conversations with people, if there are certain things, like my biggest fear is around water. And especially with Southern Water putting out warnings of kind of we live in a water stress area, that stresses me, Southern Water, that absolutely stresses me. And so if I was having a conversation with somebody about that, depending on how I felt at the time, it would depend on what response you would get from me. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie and say that I am going to have a perfect response to that, because if I'm stressed and worried about that, you're probably going to get me going, no, please, please, please don't do that. But I guess that's any sort of social issue. If you've got somebody that's passionate about something, they know about it, don't they? So therefore, they're armed with all of this information. Mm-hmm. And when you're met with somebody who maybe don't yet know that, you kind of want to arm them with the same stuff so they can make their own educated choice.
I bet your conversation with that guy, just saying, first food for the bees.
It was a lady, actually, but...
Saying it's the first food for the bees. It's probably enough.
Which I only correct you on it's a woman, because normally it is men.
Interesting,
And it did shock me that it was a woman, because
Interesting.
So maybe next time when her dandelions come...
She might leave, even just one.
Do you reckon?
Maybe.
First food for the bees. If you don't know, you don't know, do you?
No, exactly. Always pull off the head after they've gone to seed.
Yeah. Question. The clocks, when they have all gone like fairies, call them fairies in our house. Are they the seeds that then go and plant more? Because if that's the truth, I've got 5 million in my garden. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick them and I'm going to blow them all over our lawn. Is that mean?
No.
No.
I love them. No.
Who's in?
I'm in.
Do Pack.
Do it.
Do,
do it.
So where's next for your Instagram page? What's your kind of dream for either what you're doing at home or what you're doing online?
I'm just happy going with where it is. There's no goal. It's just hoping that people engage and realise that they are also helping in any little way that they can. That's what it is for me. It's, you know, getting people to understand that they are doing something. And even if they happen to look at something that I post and go, oh, actually, I could make that little tweak. Just that one little tweak. Even like putting the lid on the saucepan or something. And to be fair, I want to try and do some more posts on how being eco can also help save you money, because we are living in a cost of living crisis. Oh my goodness. And I think people have also got a bit of a misconception that being eco means you've got to go out and buy a reusable water bottle and all these fancy bits and pieces and, you know, really expensive toilet paper potentially. Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't have to be like that at all. It's you know, cheap. It can save you money. It can save you so much money. I've saved so much just by not doing much.
Reducing and recycling and reusing.
Exactly.
I think without getting too technical, I think people don't necessarily want to enter the conversation that all the while we're funding fossil fuels, that is funding the cost of living crisis. Mm-hmm. And I think people want to keep them separate. And I am afraid to say that I don't think we can anymore. I think it fully needs to be the lid blown off and this conversation kind of like blown up for another day, Kelly. But I do think that we need to start having that conversation a lot more, because I think people can just get put in a box and they don't necessarily then realise that it is affected another box. And
no point having two departments, is there, when actually the same department could really be tackling social issues, health issues. We've had a conversation with Stuart Bourne last week about allotments and the health benefits of allotments, kind of antidepressant properties within the soil.
Yes.
Food, reducing food miles, growing your own food, community, that side of things.
So much crossover, isn't there?
There is so much crossover. We're actually hoping to start a small allotment at my school. We're starting really small, really small.
Hold up. You should plant a turnip.
Okay.
An in-joke, because Liz likes to grow turnips.
Well, no, actually that's not strictly true.
She just side-eyed me.
I don't think I've even eaten a
well,
turnip.
I hadn't either.
So I will grow it so I can try one.
I've been learning about how to grow your own, and they were like, make sure you grow what you eat. Growing like swedes and squash, and I grew about 5 pumpkins this year, and I was like, well, I don't eat pumpkins. I got loads of rhubarb, but I don't eat rhubarb. Just stuff like that I'm like, I don't grow that then. Give that to somebody else. And I had got like about 8 pear trees in my garden that we rescued from the other road. And I don't like pears. So we're going to need to like think this through.
I love
pears. Where that conversation came from, that was like,
just let you know.
Like turnips. You like pears?
Yeah, not turnips. I've never tried a turnip in my life. However, as I say that. But apparently is it meant to be like parsnippy?
I think so, yeah. I'm going to grow you one. I'll bring it to you next
week. Can I just give you a fun fact before we sign off? Yes. Did you know that horseradish is like a veg?
Like a leaf?
No, it's like a root.
Oh, a root. I thought it was a leaf.
No, it's a root. I love horseradish.
It's a gnarly looking thing, isn't it?
It's a quite a what?
Gnarly.
That was such a teacher word right there.
Do you know what I think
gnarly.
It's
gnarly?
I don't
like
think I've
it.
Ever used that in class. I didn't know that. I have seen someone say that's horseradish, but because it was in the ground, I only saw the leaves.
See. Well, I didn't know that it was. So I love horseradish. I love that it stings my nose when I eat it. I love that. But I didn't know it was an actual root, like it was a vegetable. I didn't know that.
I think I only found out really recently.
It's like 38 when I learned
that. I was going to say, it's always in a jar, isn't it? All mashed up.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay.
Farm to fork.
Yeah, I bet that is strong though if you make your own.
Could you grow some?
Yeah.
I also learned last week.
Say yeah, of course.
This is all just helping you with your allotment plans.
Yeah, do it.
We also learned that garlic, you know, if you leave it in your cupboard and you get the green sprouts, you can plant that.
Yeah, you can.
Who knew? I did. You knew this.
My dad's actually got some in his greenhouse that I walked in the other day, and I was like, oh. He's left him to. He's never done it before, but he's like, I'm giving it a go. Just supermarket ones that he's just left.
Interesting. That is really cool. And loofahs. I really want to grow my own loofahs.
I've tried for the last couple of years. I'm not very successful.
I think you need someone's, it quite hot, don't you?
Yeah. Someone's even sent me seeds. If you're listening, thank you. That's They're not so going cool. very well though.
Oh.
I think it's me. Loofahs just don't like me. Sad.
I think it's a big deal if you grow a loofah.
Is it really difficult?
Yeah, I was going to geek out then. That's for another day. I'll reveal too much about my personality if I tell you why.
Thank you so much for coming all the way over.
Thank you.
And chatting to us. I have honestly really, really enjoyed this conversation. And I think so many people will hopefully now go and follow you. And if they do already follow you, they kind of just get a little bit more of an insight into kind of how House of Green started and kind of the stuff that spurs you on and encourages you to do more stuff. I've really enjoyed it. And I really want to send a message to your son to say there is a whole army of people that are doing such good stuff. And he's one of them. So thank you very much
for being a beautiful
family to inspire and encourage others. So thank you very much for having me.
It's been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess, too.
You guys have just listened to the very last episode of Series 1 of the Tread Lightly podcast with Kaylee and Liz at the Rainham Eco Hub. We have honestly had such an enjoyable time recording this series. We've met so many inspiring people who have taught us so, so much. And not only that, but so many of you guys have said that they have inspired you to take new action too. And that is exactly what the Rainham Eco Hub, and especially this podcast, is all about. It's about connecting you with local everyday people to help educate us all and to enable more people to feel confident enough to take new action. So with that in mind, we are going to be taking a really short break whilst we plan a new mini series, because we want to be able to connect with new people, explore more issues and go real in depth with them. We absolutely can't wait to share this new series with you. It is going to be really exciting. But for now, please do remember to rate this podcast. It really does help us reach the right people, and to also share it with your friends and family. Of course, keep in touch with us on social media, on Instagram or on Facebook. And Liz is trying to get us cool with the kids now. We're on TikTok too. Head on over and give us a big shout out there too. So for now, please do take care, and we can't wait to connect with you again for Series 2 coming soon.
Thank you for listening to the Rainham Eco Hub's Tread Lightly podcast. If, like us, you're trying to be more sustainable, then like and subscribe to get notified when we release new episodes, or even better, share with your friends and family. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and thank you for joining us. Stay safe, keep going, and find us on socials. Cheers, guys.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.